See Jim Owen at a club near you. Go to jimowen.com.
I do little bits of maiming throughout my act. It's lazy maiming, the way we all mime. I do phones. But, you know, I don't hang them up. Open doors, leave them open. Other mime artists come on stage after me and they go, "For stay at this place."
Merrickville, 104.9 Triple M.
Where am I?
Welcome to Merrickville.
Great to have your company, Sydney. Very excited today because comedian Justin Hamilton's back in the studios.
I'm wrapped. I've been here the whole time. I've been having a little sleep underneath. Just... And when you said, "Are you ready?" I just popped up, ready to go.
It was a bit scary, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, well, look, I've got nowhere to go. I'm single. I'm very lonely.
When you're not here, you're living in the cavities of a wall mate, at a friend's house.
That's all I can afford in Sydney.
And that's still $600 a week.
It's a lot.
That's a sad thing. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we will present episode one of Shane Warne, the failed telly movie, comes to radio saga drama.
Right.
That is the official name, by the way.
Right, saga drama.
No effing idea what that means, but it sounds good.
It sounds impressive.
Yeah, I said effing without doing the whole word. That was also impressive.
That was
too.
Really impressive.
A little close, actually.
Bosses are really impressed that you chose to not say the full word.
I saw the head pop out, and then I saw the head pop back in. So that's how close it got.
Enough about my trousers. Let's move on. Interesting story. A carjacking took place in Ashfield. Just recently, a woman was ordered and pulled by the arm, sadly, to get out of her car yesterday afternoon. Now, that is not
Man, that's confronting,
that's
isn't
not
it?
That's not a cool thing. It's on the corner of Norton and Holden Streets in Ashfield.
Is she okay? Is she all right?
Yep.
That's good.
A 41-year-old man jumped in the car and attempted to drive off, but he was caught off guard by the car being a manual.
What? So what?
Yeah.
He didn't check before he decided, I'll carjack this.
Yeah.
I better make sure I can drive it.
Yeah, exactly. He got into a car he couldn't even steal. He tried to steal a car.
Right.
He's too useless to drive. That's not carjacking. That's car jerking, mate.
Just jerking. that really is.
Jerking. That's why when he goes, this jerking hasn't gone very well, I'll just jerk her arm a little bit.
Right. Well, you know what he should have done? If he hadn't been so nasty to her, he could have asked her to drive him where he needed to go.
Exactly that. Couldn't he?
It's like an aggressive Uber.
Imagine the step down too, like the hammer, where he goes, right, get out of the car! Oh, it's a manual. Look, I'm not really
high.
This is awkward.
I don't know how to drive a manual.
Yeah.
And her just going, you should be shot.
Yeah, well, I would be hoping that she would have called the police by then and they would have turned up while she was sitting there trying to get the car started. Well, that's fantastic.
That's why she called the police.
Oh, right, yeah.
Not because he tried to carjack the vehicle, but because she went, I'm sorry, but there's a fully grown adult man who can't drive a manual.
Yeah.
Can you please come and arrest him for being a fully grown adult man who can't drive a manual?
Yeah. And we need some people down here with cameras. Mm. We need some photos taken. We need a Facebook page set up for this useless asshole. This is great.
We need some funny people to write some memes about this guy.
Yeah, let's get going.
It's the new Waiting for a Mate.
What a douchebag. Like for crim credentials, right?
Right.
It's not a great thing, is it?
Mate.
You go to prison for that?
Yeah, what are you in here for, mate?
I can't drive a manual and just go, we'll show you a gear stick.
Yeah. Oh, guess what? There's something else that's manual you won't be able to drive as well. Man, this is this has turned into the Shawshank Redemption of drive shows.
But it's true, though. You don't want to go to prison. Hey, like I just.
Well, you just don't want to go to prison.
Okay.
There's a sweeping statement from Merrick Watts.
Number one, don't want to go to prison.
What?
Number two, don't want to go to prison and at any stage have it revealed that you can't drive a manual vehicle.
Right.
Right. Because that's not going to wash well in prison, I can't imagine. Number three, you go to prison and it's revealed that the reason why you're in prison is because you can't drive a manual vehicle.
Yeah. Four, you're probably going to end up being a lot of people's friends in ways that you don't want to be.
I can sympathise with this criminal, though. Not that, you know.
Because you're stupid.
Yeah, I'm a little bit stupid. No, but I cannot drive a manual car well.
What?
Like, I am a really... Like, we got a new car a couple of years back.
Right.
The main motivation being my wife was sick of me stalling and grinding through the gears.
Oh,
I'm
really?
A terrible, terrible manual driver. I can't do it.
How useless are you? By the way, I don't even have my license. But how useless are you? What a wuss. Right? Am I right, man?
You have just made me feel so good about myself, Hamo.
Mate, there's a reason I'm single.
Oh, wow.
Do you not have a vehicle license, Hemo?
Nah, I just never got around to it. Well, see, the thing is that I was brought up without a dad, and thanks for bringing it up, and now I feel sad, and I came in here to have a good time. You brought up, you keep bringing it up. You wouldn't let me meet Russell Crowe that time. Jeez, what is going on? I didn't know this was going to be therapy. Anyway.
Okay, talk about topic. Have you got 123-53? Have you got daddy issues?
No. I'll ring you now. What's the number?
No, let's do some old school man shaming.
Yeah.
As a man, shame yourself. What can't you do that you reckon blokes should really know about? Right?
It might be something as simple as you don't shave because you don't grow enough hair.
Oh, why? Why'd you bring that up?
I don't know, Merrick.
You know, I don't have pubes. You know, I'm one of those weird headless cats that never, I'm 44 years of age and I still can't shave it. I've got a Gillette and it just sits there never getting blunt. And if why'd you bring that up?
If you're a wife or a girlfriend, you can call in and shame your partner.
Yes, call
100%.
In.
This is man shaming time. 133-53. As a man, what can't you or your partner or a friend do that's manly and they can't do it because they're not manly enough? Taking your calls on 133-53 about man shaming. As a man, what can't you do that you kind of, you know, it is a little bit embarrassing. There's a guy who tried to carjack a woman in Ashfield yesterday, got into the vehicle and then realised it was a manual and that he had a vajayjay and couldn't drive it. So, oh, what an embarrassing situation for that crap crim. Taking your calls, though. Got Nathan in Warragamba. Hello, mate.
G'day, mate. How are you?
All right. Very good. All right. So, obviously, dobbing yourself in, shaming yourself. What?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. As a man, what can't you do?
I can do it now, but I never used to be able to service my vehicle. My wife actually showed me.
I swear to God, I thought you were not going to say vehicle.
Oh, my God. I was panicking about that as well.
His wife showed him that, too.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to say service my wife. I was going to go, oh, man.
To be honest, halfway through that, I blacked out and then came back to the bit where he said the wife showed me and... I still don't know what's going on.
She got a manual off the internet and said, here's how it's done,
Nate.
Oh, my
God. Is your wife a car enthusiast?
She is, yeah. She's actually done up a VL Walkinshaw, so she loves her cars.
Yeah, no, it's Walkinshaw, but anyway.
One person in the room understood that.
Oh, yeah,
Hamo and I just gave each other a blank look there. We went,
Walkinshaw only came in one colour, which was like this kind of crystal blue colour. It was a Holden, and it was like, it was the first of the proper psycho unit Holdens that came through.
Right.
It was okay.
Okay, well, you know.
Hamo does an amazing impersonation of someone who cares.
No, I was into it. Then I'm going to get my license and buy one of those.
Brocky had one.
Yeah.
They were like next level. And they were the most, when they were made in the 80s, they were the most expensive car ever built in this country at the time.
Yeah,
they
right.
were off the chart. Even then, they were like more expensive than a BMW or anything like that. Anyway.
Oh, so. Right.
Boring!
No, I was into that. And she's made one. She's put one back together.
That guy has absolutely no plums. I'm telling you that right.
I respect that. I was on his side.
Ridge in Castle Hill. Hello, Ridge.
How are you going?
Good, mate. All right. You're man-shaming yourself?
I can't tie a decent knot with a rope.
Oh, okay.
Man.
It's a little embarrassing when your mate asks you to move furniture for him and all the ropes are tied into little bows.
You're going to do the tie down and you don't know how to do it.
Oh, no. I own a lot of Aussie straps because of that, so...
Right, that's why they were invented. Yeah. Don't feel bad about that.
That's all right.
They invented something that made things easier.
Hamo's holding up his pants with an Oki strap.
Mate, I can't. Yeah, that's why I wear Velcro shoes. By the way, when he said his mate asked him to move furniture and he didn't know how to tie a rope, I blacked out again and came back and really started to panic again. I've got to stop. I've got to pay more attention.
There's an old saying with rope: if you can't tie knots, tie lots.
Oh, there we go.
James and Tamil. Hello, mate.
Hey, mate. How's it going?
Very good indeed. All right. What man-shaming do you want to do? Is this for yourself?
Nah, it's about a mate I used to work with at my old job.
Yep.
Pretty much, he couldn't have a shave after about 6 months. He used to have a little dirty mo, and that's probably about it. So he's like a bit of a baby's face.
Oh, what's up with that, Merrick? Like, imagine that. Imagine that, Miz.
You've really hit a nerve here, James.
Yeah, well, we kind of told him by the time November came around, give him 12 months and he might be able to maybe grow a little one.
Yeah, look, we've heard all this before, James, okay? Some of us are very sensitive about that.
Mate, I'm into James. I'm quite enjoying his company at the moment.
Yeah, I know.
Mate, I can tell you right now, as a 43-year-old father, right, there's nothing worse than when you pass a girl's Catholic school and you see a girl with a bigger mustache moustache than you, and you just go, oh.
Liam, I've got to be honest. I blacked out for a moment and heard something about... Given the pay you make, I say I'll live nowhere else. Because I think
Merrick feels all right. Merrickville. 104.9 Triple M. I can't believe we got Semi Charm Kind of Life guys to sing that song for us. That's good of them.
That was really sweet of them. Is that the original lyrics too?
Yeah, I think so.
What's
the? I don't know how busy they are these days.
The joke is that that is actually them. They actually re-recorded that because they've got nothing doing.
On the cheap too.
On the freeze. Speaking of free, you could win $1,000 and you could go in the running to get some advertising here on the station, plus a Citroen Berlingo van to help your small business grow. Hammo, this is outstanding. I've set up an ad agency.
Yeah, right.
I've asked people to head to triplem.com.au to register. And if they win each week, I'm going to pick a winner. I'm going to write them an ad. You know how good my ads are.
Oh, man, they're the best. Like some of the best ads I've ever seen are yours. Like that one you made for Coca-Cola where you said, give the world a Coke. And you
I said, let's all do Coke, is what I said.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I remember that night very differently. That night that went for 3 days, I remember it very differently.
And I did one for Pepsi, and it had the letter N in it. Look, I'm not great at ads, so I'm not going to lie. Get a can of Peensy.
Mate, it's the choice of a new generation.
Gender fluent drinks. Okay, let's get back on track here. I'm giving somebody the chance to go in the running to win $10,000 worth of advertising at Citroen Berlingo van, and I'm going to write them an ad as well. And
right.
This week's winner is Doug Rowley, and he's got a business called Swagman's Jerky and Sauces. And this is his entry. He wrote in, do you know what man first ate? Meat. Okay, sure, there were probably some other nuts, leaves, and little fruit too, but that were just filler foods when meat couldn't be hunted or gathered. Yes, we have evolved, but at least it's honest. Yeah, okay, I think the rest of it, I probably should.
We got the gist.
Yeah, like, you know, honest, great entry online, mate, and then when I'm reading it on air, I go,
mate, somewhere Sam Doug's Neill and Sam Kekovich started making out with excitement.
It's like, no, good. I mean, add some spice there if it's jerky.
So,
tried,
Doug,
anyway. Yeah,
Doug's won.
$1,000, Dougie. If you're listening, mate, have won yourself $1,000 for Swagman's Jerky and Sauces. This is going to go towards him taking it to a greater market.
Great.
And he's still in the running to win $10,000 worth of advertising here at the station and a Citroen Berlingo van. It's all happening.
And when does the advert happen?
Thursday. I'll play it here on Thursday.
Great.
It's going to take me 2 days to write the genius that is a Merrick Watts ad.
You want to get it right.
100%.
Well, all know what happened with Pepsi.
Oh, Peensy.
Yeah, sorry.
The Peensy campaign.
Yes.
What was funny, though, is when Michael Jackson switched over to Peensy.
Mate.
And he was like, and then they said, oh, sorry, it's been a spelling error. It's actually Pepsi. And he said, I'm out.
He was gone.
We'll get Doug on the phone on Thursday. We'll get Doug on the phone on Thursday so we can hear his ad firsthand.
Who's Doug? That guy.
Thanks to the Citroen Berlingo van featuring reverse camera and rear parking sensors.
I've got a little story here, Hammo. This is an interesting local Sydney story, particularly for people if you're close to Walleye Creek. There's a concept burger store opening. And because it's called Concept Burger.
Right.
Right. So because there's 160 burger franchises in Sydney.
Right.
to find an edge.
Yeah.
These guys at Concept Burger have come up with ideas where all the burgers are based around concepts.
Right. Okay.
We tried to get in contact with them today to speak to them about it, but they don't open until after 5.
Right.
And their website's not open. So here's a concept.
their website's not open.
Yeah, that's a concept. First concept, be open.
They're going with the Centrelink concept of customer service.
Right.
Yeah.
Not answering.
Now, I should point out, too, that this is certainly not a reflection of their business, but more about the suburb of Walleye Creek.
Yep.
It is possibly the shittest suburb in Sydney.
Is it really?
It is crap.
Right.
You don't even know where Walleye Creek is, do you? Most people don't.
Mate, I've passed through it.
Oh, everyone passes through. You pass through Walleye Creek. Walleye Creek, if you don't know, when you get past the bad part of Tempe and you're on your way south, like going around the back of the International Airport, and you see that massive tower of apartments and you think, why would you live within 6 metres of a plane landing? That's Walleye Creek.
Right.
You cross that crap, and it's a creek / dodgy canal full of rapey ibis birds.
Oh, my Lord.
No, they are.
The worst type of ibis birds.
Liam looked at me like that's defamation. It's a bird, mate. I can say that.
Mate, if those birds have lawyers, we're in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
And anyway, that's Walleye Creek. Walleye Creek is so crap that Walleye Creek Park isn't even in Walleye Park. In Walleye Creek, Walleye Park is actually in Earlwood.
Right.
Because it doesn't want to be associated with Walleye Creek.
The park moved from its original place.
And here's the thing. Not one person has called through to correct me.
Right. Well, they can't. They're not allowed to have phones. They know the rules.
So get a burger there.
Yeah.
From the Concept Burger Store. They've got one. We've managed to find one of these inspirational Concept Burgers.
Mm.
It's the Japanese burger, which will have fish tempura and watermelon radish.
Really?
Surprising. I would have thought it would have been whale meat and suicidal shame. But,
right. Well, you know. Do they have any more? Let me just check on the website.
I'm sure they're open to ideas.
100% they are. 100% they are.
What about the barley burger? It's the only burger you have twice. That'd be all right. You pay once, you have it twice. That seems good.
I've got a suggestion here. The Canada burger, it's exactly the same as the American burger, but it has one chip on top because Canada has a chip on its shoulder.
Oh, yeah. It's a very polite burger as well, isn't it? What about from Spain, the Matador burger? You get to see your meal literally prepared before your eyes. That's exciting. It's like picking out a lobster. I'll take that big boy over there.
Yeah, good. I've got the North Korea burger. It's a meat patty. With only a bun on top of the meat patty.
Yep.
Because they don't recognise the southern half. So it stops at the demeteralised zone.
Oh, you know what? Well played.
Thank you.
Someone get him a... That was good. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Well, I surprised myself too.
Have you been to New Zealand? You can get the Ork burger. It's born, bred and grain fed in the highlands of Middle Earth. That's pretty tasty.
Good. Here we go. From Sweden.
Oh.
This is the burger. All the ingredients come in separate bags, and then you have to put the burger together with an Allen key.
Oh, my God. It'd be the only one you'd be happy to get a hair in as well.
You're just left with the pickles afterwards going, I don't know where these are meant to go.
Where do you put them? Pickles. You never know where you put them. What about, keeping it in Australia, what about in Adelaide? You can get the shallow grave burger. You don't know who we're grilling, but we're grilling them to perfection.
I think we might.
Have you got any more, Mez?
Yeah, I'll go for one more.
I've
got a list, but I think this is one of those ones where after I say this, you play something.
Play music quickly. Okay.
Thanks for the heads up.
Okay. The last burger option for Concept Burger is Brazil. It's all patties, all buns, but no pubes. Hammo, there's, of course, I'm going to preview it very shortly. Shane Warne, the telly movie.
Not the cricketer.
Yeah, Shane Warne.
Oh, right, sorry.
That's Shane Warne.
Yeah. I thought you said Shane Warne, the telly movie.
No.
I got what you... Yeah, I took it too literally. That's what happened.
That happens.
Yeah. Because I remember that telly movie playing cricket for Australia, and he was terrible. He was nowhere as good as Shane Warne, the cricketer.
Shane Warne, the cricketer was amazing.
Yeah, he was great.
Amazing guy.
But Shane Warne, the telly movie.
No.
Mate.
Not great.
No.
Shane Warne, the telly movie, Channel 7's version of the telly movie. Sadly, has been shelved.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, it's gone right up.
In the fun way.
No, what?
Not a good shelving.
No, not look, here comes the cops. Get rid of it kind of way.
Why does that guy seem so confident from the bum up?
He's had the telly movie scrapped and yet he's dancing.
Yeah, what's happening here? None of this is making any sense. Well, that's disappointing because you would have thought off the back of Molly, and I don't mean that literally either, but, the series, it was really...
This is a minefield.
This is a disaster.
Molly was huge.
Yeah, and you would have thought the telly movie of Warnie would be huge.
But Brock didn't do very well.
Oh, and Hoax didn't do very well.
No,
either.
Neither did Hoax. And I think everyone's gone a bit gun-shy. I read something a few months ago about the network's been gun-shy about these biopics and saying, look, we don't want... Or biopics, whatever.
Yeah.
We don't want to produce this one about Warnie, but I reckon Warnie would be. I reckon that would have been for me. That would have been bigger than Brocky because Warnie's a pretty big character.
Well, you're not doing it as a miniseries, are you? Like you're starting from the start and you're getting like 20 seasons out of it. Like
stop.
Just imagine
it's still going. It's writing itself.
The first season begins with him loving St Kilda Football Club and eating pies, and it finishes with him bowling the ball of the century with Gadding. That's the first season.
There you go.
I just thought of that then without even thinking much.
Mate, it's seriously, it's series after series of stuff. Anyway,
right. But Hammer, the great thing about this now is that Seven said no to it.
Not dead. It's not a dead ball. It's still alive.
Right.
And it's been given the working title. When I say working title, it'll be the only title of Shane Warne, Balls and All.
Yes. Perfect.
Makes sense.
It makes sense.
I don't want to point this out, Hammer. You probably might have picked up on it. There's two levels to that.
Oh, yeah. The first level, played cricket.
What's the second level, Mez?
His balls.
Like, it's Liam. Literally his balls.
Liam.
Mate.
You got to
come on.
And give her the program.
Liam, I can't believe you even asked that on air.
What does the all refer to?
All of them.
Oh, I haven't figured that out.
All right.
So here it is. Episode one. And Hammo, big thanks to you, mate.
Oh, no.
Thanks for coming in today. We'll let you go now and we'll leave you and the audience with this Shane Warne, Balls and All, episode one of the telemovie for radio.
The most anticipated miniseries about Shane Warne, after the one Channel 7 nearly made, is here. Starring Merrick Watts as Shane Warne.
Chucked him a flipper. Idiot.
Justin Hamilton as Brian Lara.
Hello, ladies. Even though I'm from Trinidad, you're Jamaican me crazy.
And some bloke from The Office as Sachin Tendulkar.
Hey, ladies. Ever been to India? Well, get this, India. Oh, come on.
Do it.
This is Shane Warne, Balls and All.
Okay, fellas, we're here to decide the greatest of all time. And it's not an easy task. There are literally thousands of candidates with remarkable skills to consider.
Yeah, I think Dom Bradman has to be the greatest.
No, Sachin, I was talking about women that I've slept with.
Boom! Nice one, Warney. That was a flipper.
Nah, okay, jokes aside, it's probably me though, right?
You? Warney, I scored more runs than anybody else.
Yeah, but I was blind most of the time I was out there.
True that. I reckon little old Brian Lara here could be a chance.
Well, I'd like to place a vote for myself, Sachin Tendulkar.
Great. It's unanimous. The best player of all time is Warney.
Tomorrow on Shane Warne, Balls and All.
Oh, Jesus, the power's gone out. Someone get Stewie McGill to hold a candle. He's good at that. Look, I thought it was a weird thing to say, but I thought at the top of the show I should probably do a solicit just in case, because it might be a little bit difficult to find somebody who has been shot, right? And this comes off the back of the fact that gun violence is being addressed in Southwest Sydney. There's been 40 shootings in Southwest Sydney.
40 shootings?
This year alone.
We're halfway through the year.
Halfway through the year. I don't want to be the one to say, let's see if we can get past 80. But no.
No,
I don't want to be that guy. It's got so ridiculous that the government has introduced another gun amnesty. Now, we haven't had one of these for several years. The Howard government brought in a gun amnesty, of course, and it starts on July 1st, so just over a week away, and we will be able to, when I say we, you, will be able to dispose of any firearms that you shouldn't have. You can take it to the police and drop them off, and you will no longer have them. Anyway, so that's the point of it. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny, in some ways, if we spoke to somebody who'd been shot by a gun. And I thought, we won't get anyone. No, there's literally not enough
calls.
There's literally not enough phone lines. What is going on, Sydney?
Because remember a couple of weeks back, Mez,
is just from Bankstown. We've only opened it up to Bankstown so far. Oh, it's a joke.
A couple of weeks back, Mez, we had the conversation about has a car crashed through your house.
Yeah.
And we had heaps of people call through for that.
What's going on in this town?
So,
you know what we can never do? Give us a call if you think you're paying too much for electricity, because I'll never leave the building. Can we get to one call real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do one call and then we'll try to get through some more in the next break after we hear a song. We've got Scotty on the Central Coast. Hello, Scotty.
How you doing, mate?
Okay, very good. You've been shot by an actual gun?
Yeah, I got shot by a rifle when I was about 9.
Oh, 9?!
Yeah, this is going back about 20, 25 years or something like that, a long time ago. Yeah,
you're doing an impersonation of a deer?
Yeah, no. What happened? Wandering around, they're looking for, it was my brother's mate, Troy. Troy shot me.
Oh, classic Troy, though, isn't it, Scotty?
It was.
Look,
I mean,
if you're ever going to get shot in the foot with a hunting rifle, it's going to be a guy called Troy at the end of the Troy. And you know what? What did he pull? He pulled the Troiger. Yeah,
exactly.
Thank you, Scotty. Thank you, Scotty.
It wasn't very funny.
No, all right. Thanks, Scotty.
No worries. Now, what happened, he was walking through. I was just a tag along. My brother and Troy were walking through looking for hares, looking for rabbits, or stuff to shoot up bones and tops. And
he tripped over a bit of barbed wire from a collapsed fence, and as the gun landed on the ground, it shot me in the foot, shot me straight through the gum boot, through in between the Achilles tendon and the bone, and out the other side.
What caliber rifle was it? 22?
Just a 22.
Yeah,
nothing,
all right.
Nothing so, big. Didn't blow my ankle off.
I was going to say, mate, because if it was a shoddy or something like that, or a larger caliber, that's at the end of your ankle there. So it just kind of went in that little gap there.
Yeah, just right between the two. I collapsed in a heap and went down screaming, thinking my foot was gone.
Yeah, because you'd been shot, Scott.
Did you bleed much, Scotty?
That's right.
Did you bleed a lot?
Yeah, I did actually. And they pushed me off the hospital like 2.5 hours later because I'm up at Barrington Tops.
Yeah, what was Troy doing in this stage? Let me guess, going to get an oak milk because he'd calm his nerves? Classic Troy.
He actually laughed at the end of it all. He was laughing. He was trying to say sorry, but he was laughing.
So Troy, isn't it?
It was. It was very much Troy. And he's, you know what? If you'd met him, he's a classic Aussie Troy. He lives in Tassie now.
Mate, I know. You didn't need to state that, Scotty. He shot you in the foot because he couldn't get past barbed wire and he didn't have the safety on and he had it loaded with one in the pipe.
Mez, unbelievably, we have more calls to get to.
We've got 100 calls to get through. We'll get to your calls next. Have you been shot by a gun? Seems like a lot of people have.
Merrickville.
104.9.
Triple M.
So many calls. Sadly, too many. On the talkback topic, which is, have you been shot with a gun on your actual human?
Because you saw the other day the ABC journo, Adam Harvey, who's over in the Philippines.
Chopped it in the neck.
And he described it as like being hit with a cricket ball, which is not what I thought being shot would be like. I've been hit by a cricket ball, and it hurts.
Yeah.
But I imagine that being shot would be much, much worse.
Imagine being shot in the place you'd normally wear a cricket cup. That would be...
I hope we don't have anyone calling.
Well, given that if you get a cricket ball there, that feels like you've been shot.
Okay, we've gone down a wormhole here.
No, we're not going to go down that wormhole at all. We've got Steve in Mount Druitt. Hello, Steve.
How you going?
Very good, mate. You've been shot. Tell us the story.
I sure have. I was security guard. I used to pick up money from a pub in Penrith. They tried to rob me. He just shot me. The bullet went straight through my little finger and shot me again, and the bullet went through my chest on the right side of it.
Jeez,
went
Steve.
Straight out the other side.
Jesus.
Mate, I'm glad you're still with us. What kind of caliber weapon are we talking about here?
I shot him as well, but he had a 357 Magnum.
Jesus Christ!
In that gun, you can put 38 bullets in it, so... He had only 38. If it was a 357, I wouldn't have a chest.
A 357 caliber bullet, just so anybody, if you watch Dirty Harry, that's a 357 Magnum, what Clint Eastwood used to carry
that's
around.
That's right.
That massive hand cannon.
Yes, but he only had bullets of 38 in it.
38. Yeah. So, yeah, because if 38, because if he had a 357, you're right, it would have been like a tennis ball hole in your chest.
Steve, how's your finger?
Well, that's gone.
I'm glad you're laughing, Steve. I didn't think that was funny at all.
Well, you just said that when someone got shot, it felt like they got hit with a cricket ball.
Yeah.
Mine didn't hurt at all.
What? What about the chest, Steve?
Through the chest, it just felt warm. Just went straight through. Came out the other side.
Oh.
That just felt warm.
And you shot him too, so would you have a Glock or something?
Yes. Yeah, I had a Glock. I had a 40 cal Glock.
Oh.
I shot him 3 times. And the third time.
This is like wide earth.
Yeah, it was good.
I think we better let Steve go before he gets... Yeah.
Could that have been any more Triple M?
That's going to be hard to top.
Oh, yeah, but this is Triple M. James and Menangle, the pressure's on you. You've been shot.
I'm not going to beat that one, mate.
I try. You might never know your luck.
Yeah, back when I was about 16, 15, everyone used to have air rifles.
Oh, there you go.
And the boys used to go up to the park and we used to face off a bit.
Yes, I remember. Well, I remember. I don't know what you're talking about, James. Yeah, but anyway, and so one of the boys, got the drop on you and shot you with an air rifle?
Yeah, we're just listening to the slugs go past our ears. You could hear them go past and I ducked into one.
Oh! Where'd he get you?
Yeah, straight in the forehead, about an inch above the eye. So,
wow! Okay, so no permanent damage. You would have got a fair hole. Even with a little lead slug, you still would have got a little hole there.
Yeah, it flattened against my skull, so
yeah,
they did have to operate and pull it off, but it didn't penetrate the skull.
What? What? It makes me think, like, hearing these stories, James, hearing you just having a laugh as well, and basically everybody who's been shot so far, everyone's had a bit of a laugh. Makes me think maybe being shot is a kind of good thing to happen. Because, well, they're all in cheery moods, Liam, don't lie.
Yeah, James got shot with an air rifle, though. Like, you know.
Oh, mate, just got shot with a 357, mate, and he was laughing his ass off.
He said it was a warm feeling.
Warm?
Yeah.
So it's cosy. As you can see, James in Camden. Hello, James.
G'day, mate. Mate's 21st of mine, a couple of boys, same thing. The air rifle came out, and they thought they'd have a bit of a laugh.
Oh, yeah.
One of them got shot in the leg. They, after a few beers, they decided to pull it out. Of course, after all the guns had been put away.
Oh God!
What?
And then once old mate had shot him, the other buddy turned around and said, "Well, you better shoot me because I got to shoot you." He got him right underneath the kneecap. Both the boys the next day had to go into hospital. One for stitches, one for surgery to get the slug out.
Okay, that's just the biggest form of dickheadery I've heard today. And there's a lot of that on this show. You know that, James.
Yeah, that, mate, the two biggest galahs I've ever met.
James, yeah. James, what do your mates do for a job, mate?
Most of them are farmers.
That's it. So shoot your mate so that he can't go and do his job. I like how he's just gone, I'll just get him around about the kneecap because that looks like a good place to shoot someone. James, thank you very much. Well, I think we've filled this theory that, there's too many people in Sydney being shot. Just a few minutes ago, I was asking you, Sydney, whether or not you've ever shot yourself or if you've been shot. My next guest is not only the host of Shark Tank, which is back 8:45 tonight on Channel 10, but Sarah Harris nearly shot herself in the face with a nail gun on television. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mez. Thanks so much for having me.
It's live talkback. You come in here and you tell me about how you nearly blew your face away with a nail gun.
That's right. That's right. I'm not very good with power tools. So if a job ever comes up on Backyard Blitz, never going to get it. And I was holding the nail gun the wrong way round and shot myself in the face. I actually got nominated for a Darwin Award.
Oh, no.
Are you aware of those?
They're for people who are too dumb to be alive.
That's right. They don't want you to actually propagate the species.
And you're pregnant.
And I'm pregnant.
Oh, my God.
Hopefully this little one inside's not a handyman. Yeah. But I also made the New York Times, which, you know, as a journalist, is something that you hope and dream about. I thought about this from J school, and they called me the dumb blonde TV presenter from Down Under who almost shot herself in the face with a nail gun.
I remember
put that on my wiki page.
Yeah. And for anybody who has seen it, it was like a proper, like tradies are listening will know, like a proper hardcore nail gun. And I don't think it wasn't a hydraulic one, was it? It was a charged one, like a bullet one. Was it?
It's one of those. I was actually never in any danger, they told me later, even though Channel 10, OH&S were not happy. But it's one of those ones that you have to have pressure.
Yeah, you can push it out. All of them are like that.
Mez, Sarah didn't know which end the nail came out. Do you think she's going to know if it was a hydraulic one or not?
I've got no idea.
Let's just look down the barrel to see. Bang! It's great to have you here.
Do you remember the headlines? Nailed it.
Yeah. See, there you go. Welcome to the show. The Shark Tank returns tonight, 8:45, Channel 10.
Yes.
You get some great people with some great ideas coming through, but no doubt every now and again you get one where you just go, thanks for trying.
And you do feel sorry for them because a lot of people, they put their heart, their soul, the house on, you know, a business possibly succeeding. There was this one bloke who came through and he came up with the idea of the ham dog. Have you heard of this?
No, but I like it.
It's actually quite genius. A hamburger crossed with a hot dog in one delicious treat.
Yeah, but that's not like, you know, inventing the internet, is it? That's just being...
It's not quite Facebook.
No, that's being stoned and bored and bringing two things together in something that no one asked for.
There's Mark Zuckerberg, then there's this guy.
Well, the funniest thing is that he was standing in front of these, you know, these five sharks who are just worth a gazillion dollars put together. And he's like, I left a bar one night and I had a hamburger in one hand and a hot dog in the other hand. And I thought, I just wish the two were combined.
Wow.
So he actually got investment. $1 he sold his idea for. Yep. And Andrew Banks took it to the States to try and sell the patent for it to a big fast food chain. Still waiting on a call.
Oh, it hasn't come through. Lucky he didn't go and get himself a kebab and then pop into an adult bookshop, because that would have been a very different hot dog offering that he was over there. These food combinations, I remember the first time I ever thought, wow, I've had that flashbulb moment, right? Mm. Which ironically is kind of similar to the hot dog hamburger, is when I was a kid, I really genuinely thought, oh my God, I've come up with a marketable product.
Do you want to pitch an idea here, Mez?
Hang
I've
on
got
a
the
sec.
Music for you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
question.
Are you sure you want to put it out there?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay. You ready? I think this is safe.
All right.
Young kid, about 8 years of age. I like peanuts. And I also like salt and vinegar chips. But sometimes I can't choose. What if I had salt and vinegar peanuts?
I think that's a great idea.
Is it? Is it?
I'm pregnant, so I spend most of my time thinking about food. So
food combos.
Yeah, I'd love it.
So I got a bag of peanuts, right, as an eight-year-old. And that was like the family's stash. There's like, it was like a family thing that we all share. No, they're all going to be part of this experiment. Put them in a bowl and just poured all of the Skipping Girl vinegar, and just soaked it. Then I let them partially dry and rolled them in salt and ate them.
And?
They were awful. It was like licking sandpaper, but being stung by, it was like paper cuts in my mouth.
Ooh.
And I persisted with it because I was so convicted with my own idea. I just went, just eat it. Have belief. Live your dream. Oh, my mouth hurts. Sarah Harris from Shark Tank joins me this afternoon. Joined this afternoon by host of Shark Tank and also to Studio 10 on Channel 10, Sarah Harris. It's great to have you here, Sarah.
Oh, thanks,
Miss. Nice having you in here. You're a very well put together woman, but also too, you do have a touch of Bogan in you. There's a little bit of Western Sydney in there, and I quite like it when you talk.
Well, you know I'm from Western Sydney.
I know, and
you
I
know
can
that.
Hear. It makes me feel comfortable to have somebody who's, you know, done good.
You don't want to forget your roots.
No, absolutely not. Speaking of which, you're pregnant.
oh, God. That's good. That's a good segue. Yeah.
Good, aren't I?
I know.
Congratulations.
Second pregnancy.
How's it going?
Well, you know, the first pregnancy is magical because, you know, you've just got yourself to look after and you're growing bump and you're looking at your body change and you're thinking, this is so wonderful and I'm a goddess and I'm growing life inside of me. And the second time around, you're like, oh, God, I know what I'm in for. I know what I'm in for. The sore back, the hemorrhoids.
Yeah. Oh. What about
the swollen boobs.
Oh. Well, there's two of those things.
Use a condom.
Actually,
use a condom, everyone.
There's three of those things that I can relate to.
You've never had a sore back, have you, Miss?
No, I've had aching bosoms. Not the aching back.
But you just know because you're not in wonderment and looking at everything change for the first time. You kind of go... Oh, we're at this point again, are we? You know.
Yeah. And what about on TV? I mean, is it difficult because you have to keep it a secret for 3 months,
your
first trimester, and then you've got to try and cover up and stuff like that. But also too, what about like if you have to go and do piddle or something like that, or you just go piddle on yourself on TV?
No. Well, the thing is, you have 3 minutes and an ad break, and any pregnant woman will tell you just constantly need to wee.
Yep.
And try adding into that the fact that I wear Spanx.
Yep.
Really puts extra pressure on the bladder. So you've got 3 minutes to duck out there, get the job done and run back. Plus I popped, my belly popped really early this time around because your abs are so destroyed from the last one.
Abdominal separation. It's all over.
That's it. 8 weeks I was out. And people were looking. How did you not know? You've been on for like five times.
So much in common with pregnant ladies, you don't know. I've been a heavier man than I am now, I can say that. But once, years ago, Sarah, I was doing a live show at the Emore, and I was halfway through the routine, and I saw a woman get up and try to make her way out of the auditorium. It's a big venue, so you can see people. It's a big theatre. There's like 1,500 people in there. And I've run down off the stage, and I said, excuse me, where do you think you're going?
Oh, no.
And she said, I'm just going to the toilet. And I said, why? You can't wait till the end of the show? I said, there's only like another 15 minutes. She goes, oh, I'm pregnant. And I said, oh, okay. Well, still, you know, you could still wait around. I'm having a gag and everyone's going, oh, that's kind of funny. And then she just goes, I've pissed myself. And I said, I'm so sorry, because now 1,500 people are going to look for wee on you. Like, you know, that...
I'm glad I'm standing up and crossing my legs.
Don't laugh. Don't laugh. I have that effect.
Pelvic floors. Oh. Not as strong as I used to be.
Again.
I understand. I pissed myself. Oh. That's so funny. Oh, the poor girl. How far along was she? How did you not know she was pregnant?
I was too swept up in my own glory. I was looking for the gag opportunity. And she was probably only a few months pregnant.
Right, okay. So. It was during that time where you go, oh, is she or isn't she? It's quite funny because when you are pregnant, your body isn't yours anymore. The public owns your body and people feel like and usually I'm okay with it, but they feel like they can come up to you and say whatever they want to you about your body. For example, just recently, one of our audience members came up to me and said, you're having a girl. Oh. I said, oh, am I? Oh, what makes you, is it the way I'm carrying? She goes, yes, because you've got a very big bum.
Oh! What? Jessica Rowe, not on. That is not on.
Are you just like,
there's a woman who should know better than the bully.
And you're like, hang on a second. I'm pretty hormonal here. How am I going to react? What should I say? What's your excuse?
Wow. Somehow I get the feeling that the potential script writing for the movie Alien may have come from somebody's pregnancy.
Oh, yeah.
Because A, there's an alien growing inside you. And then B, as soon as somebody does anything, they react by ripping through and tearing somebody's head off.
It's very true.
I'm starting to see the theme there. Sarah Harris, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you come in the show. Come in anytime.
You're going to come back to my studio soon.
I'd love it. Yeah. It's good times. Hang out with Denise. She's good.
She's hilarious, isn't
Ding
she?
Dong. Can't believe I'm glad to call her that. Shark Tank returns tonight, 8:45 on Channel 10 and again tomorrow on Studio 10. They can't get you to work enough. It's almost as though they've got to get their money's worth or something. On Channel 10. Okay.
You can afford to buy 10, can't you, miss?
Pass the hat around, guys.
See Jim Owen at a club near you. Go to jimowen.com.
I have problems remembering everything, to be perfectly honest. I used to think it was unless we forget, not lest we forget. Remember those who have fallen, unless we forget.
Merrickville, 104.9 Triple M.